Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited Q4 FY21 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mukund Kabra, Whole-time Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody. First of all, I, along with the whole AETL family, would like to welcome all our investors and partners to this conference call for the quarter ending 31st March 2021. It is a pleasure to address to all of you again as we put up our quarter four results of the financial year 2020-21. First and foremost, we hope and pray that you and your respective families are in good health and high spirit, as we all had to be strong and endure such tough times together. We at Advanced Enzymes are regularly being updated with the current COVID-19 scenario as safeguarding our employees and customer health and their interest is always being our topmost priority. In the first segment of this call, we will be briefing you on our focus area and the business highlights, and then we will open up the floor for the question and answers. Our focus area continue to be the same API and biocatalyst for the API, and also the probiotics are our focus area, as well as B2C segments of our nutraceutical areas. In the bioprocessing division, we still focus on the bakery division, and we are expanding baking solution in U.S. and European market. We are also focusing our animal nutrition business in the globe. Moving ahead with the call, we are happy and proud to announce that we are again positive on all the parameters on our goal for this financial year. We strongly believe in delivering long-term value to our esteemed shareholders. I'm glad to announce that we have a decent growth in profitability because of our product mix. Despite the tough time of COVID-19, our revenue grew by 13% to rupees 5,018 million. Maintaining our legacy of high margins, our EBITDA margin and PAT margin stood at 46% and 30% respectively in financial year 2021. Our business in India has delivered good results and has shown a growth of 20%. We have lost our top customer from U.S., which contributed rupees 5.37 million. Despite that, we have delivered a robust growth of 12% in U.S. during financial year 2021, hence proving that our specialized business model keeps us risk-free from large customer dependencies. The segment breakup of revenue is as follows: human nutrition contributed 77%, animal nutrition contributed 9%, and industrial bioprocessing contributed 14%. We are committed to growth without sacrificing our margins and continue to create the stakeholders' value. During this quarter, we have acquired 51% stake in SciTech Specialities Private Limited, a company specialized in effervescent-based products, for consideration of INR 316 million, and the acquisition process has completed on 11th January 2021. This acquisition has contributed to 1.8% of our inorganic growth this year. This acquisition also added two manufacturing facilities and one R&D facility to the company. Despite the sentiments around the world, we have moved forward in the right direction, and your company is fully prepared to navigate the vagaries of the evolving macro situation and intricacies of the business environment. The company will continue to move ahead by leveraging its strength and expanding further to capitalize the opportunities. To end with, I would like to say the outlook for financial year 2022 right now is difficult to give any guidance, given this is a very dynamic situation with the corona still going. As we get more clarity going forward, we will be able to give you more clarity on how the year should plan out. but we expect even in such a tough situation, we are here to be decent. Now let me hand over this to Rauka ji, our CFO, who will walk you through the company's financials. Rauka ji? Rauka ji?
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you very much, Mukund. And good afternoon, everyone. I will just take you briefly through the company's financials for the last quarter and the last financial year. So on year-on-year basis, our revenue has increased by 578 million. This is about 13% growth from 4,440 million to 5,018 million. Our EBITDA is increased by 292 million. This is roughly 14% increase from 2,023 million to 2,315 million. And it is about 46% of our revenue. Profit before tax is increased about 17% from 1,792 million to 2,104 million. So a growth of an increase of 312 million. This is you know, roughly from 40% of revenue to 42% in current year. Our PAT is increased by 185 million, 14% from 1,330 million to 1,515 million. So we have crossed 1,500 threshold as such for us, and it is about 30% of our PAT. On year-on-year basis, this is, you know, more relevant for us. We have a good amount of growth in the company. Those numbers I would like to share with you. I mean, from 4,440 million to 5,018 million, and the numbers which I have given was on year-on-year basis, not on quarter-to-quarter basis. Extremely sorry for my mistake. So that was the for financial FY21 to FY20. Now I'm giving on year-on-year basis. This is quarter four to quarter four of last year. So revenue is increased by 229 million from 1,103 million to 1,332 million, a growth of 229 million. And EBITDA is gone up from 487 to 549 million. This is about, you know, from 41 to 44%. Profit before tax is increased by 46 million. This is roughly 39%, and increase is of 46 million to from 432 million to 478 million. And our PAT is increased by about 11 million as compared to 327 million to 338 million. For the sake of better understanding, let me, you know, repeat my year FY21 number to FY20 number. Revenue is increased from 4,440 million to 5,018 million, an increase of 578 million. And EBITDA increase is about 292 million from 2023 to 2315. Profit before tax is increased from 1,792 million to 2,104 million, 312 million. And PAT increase is 185 million from 1,330 to 1,515 million, 30% of our revenue. Our R&D spend is at 179 million during FY21 as compared to 144 million in FY20. This is an increase of about 19%, and it's about 3.55% of our revenue in FY21 and 3.25% in FY20. Some of the data point on frequently asked questions. So our evoke sale during FY21 stood at 282 million rupees and EBITDA of 52 million, and we had a PAT of 13 million during this year, as compared to revenue of 264 million and EBITDA of 58 million and PAT of 22 million during the previous year. Sales in JC Biotech during this year is at 504 million as compared to 424 million and EBITDA of 149 million as compared to 119 million and PAT is 78 million during this year as compared to 61 million during FY20. And our largest product, which is anti-inflammatory enzyme, stood at 1,134 million during FY21 as compared to 1,035 million. So it has registered a growth of about 10%. And top 10 customers contribute roughly 38% of our total revenue in FY21 as compared to 35% last year. Although last year we have lost, you know, the largest customer who used to contribute about 9% in, I think last year it has, in FY20, the contribution of the largest customer was about 9%. And the recently acquired subsidiary has posted a revenue of about 79 million and EBITDA of 22 million, which is roughly 26%, and PAT of about 14 million, which is about 17%. So this performance is from 11 January 21 to 31st March 21. And full year revenue of SciTech stood at 379 million as compared to 306 million of last year, and EBITDA margin of 93 million as compared to 66 million during FY20, and PAT is about 30 million as compared to 16 million during FY20. That was from my side, and now we would like to commence the question and answer session, please. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue is ending. The first question is from the line of Rohit Sinha from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, sir. So first of all, I think you have rightly detailed all the segments and subsidiary numbers. So few questions might not be there on that. Just on this SSPL part, I think till FY20, the margins of SSPL was 15%, and even in 9 months, it was around 27%. So there we have seen margin improvement in this quarter as well, whereas our overall margin for advanced enzyme has come down. So is it all because of the raw material side and supply chain from for advancement particularly, or any comment on that margin contraction?
Yeah, so margin, I mean, during this quarter four is mainly, you know, number one, because of increased cost of the raw materials, input cost has gone up. And in addition to that, you know, there is a couple of, you know, expenses which has been, you know, included due to this consolidation, because, you know, in the consolidation, all these expenses has increased in that sense. So although there is an increase in revenue, I do understand. So gross margin erosion is there. during this year, during this particular quarter, sorry. And that is mainly because of increase in input cost. And in addition to that, as I explained to you, some of the expenses are also up. Like if you look at, you know, the margin erosion, which is a substantial amount in that sense. This is roughly, I mean, you know, 59 if we compare with quarter to quarter basis. And the payroll cost is up by about 18 million. Then the depreciation on account of, again, you know, this company which we have added, this is higher. Other expenses are higher because of, you know, logistic cost has gone up. And a couple of, you know, other expenses, like expenses on some of the studies which we have got done from the, you know, outside external parties. So there is increase in that cost. And apart from that, you know, professional charges, because we have acquired the company, so we have to spend some money on that also. So some of the expenses have gone up during this quarter, and coupled with, you know, erosion in the margin, this is mainly because of, you know, change in the product mix and the lower, you can say, the revenue during this quarter as compared to the previous quarter. Because this quarter, if we add the 79 million of SciTech, in spite of that, we could see that, you know, there is a, that the revenue is lower by about 45 million.
Correct.
So we have a higher margin in that sense. So, you know, 79 million, otherwise we would have earned a very higher margin in that sense. So all this factor has, you know, ultimately contributed in lower profitability during this quarter as compared to the previous quarter.
Right, there is also like some of the taxation effect. So this quarter we have a higher tax because we changed the regime with the new tax regime. So we had to wipe out like our somewhere around 2.7 crore which was there as a MAT credit.
Okay, that comes on below the figure. Okay, secondly, as you say, on the depreciation side, I mean, there is a significant increase. So is it all because of that SSPL addition, or is it?
Yes. Mainly it is because of SSPL addition. Because in SSPL, they have added, you know, CapEx during that quarter has got capitalized. So roughly, you know, 90 million was increased, and then in addition to that, some of, you know, intangible assets which has been identified, so we had to amortize for the, you know, proportionately on the basis of, you know, number of days since we have acquired this company. So that amortization cost has also gone, like, you know, added into the depreciation. So all put together, roughly, you know, depreciation cost on account of SSPL is higher by about 15 million. 4 million is because of some addition capital expenditure which has been capitalized in other subsidiaries, including Advanced Enzymes.
Okay. Got it. And going forward, I mean, this SSPL contribution, how we are now seeing this opportunity is, obviously for this quarter it was hardly for few months. But going forward, how much kind of revenue growth we are expecting from this, and how the margin profile would look like for SSPL in particular?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, it is for about some 82 days or so. If you see the full year revenue, it was about 379 million. So we expect that it will contribute a very good amount. It will continue to be a kind of, you know, major subsidiary for us. So maybe they will be contributing, you know, about 10 to 12% at least of our top line going forward. And as far as, you know, the EBITDA margin is concerned, we could see that, you know, EBITDA margin has improved in the first quarter. But yes, we are looking for, you know, more integration and more optimization of, you know, available resources. So that will, you know, finally, we will, you know, as we progress, we will get to know that where we are and the kind of efforts being put in by us as well as the team over there. We feel that, you know, the scope for improvement is of course there. So the EBITDA margin as well as the PAT margin, which is now, we will always try to bring it, you know, in line. But yes, this is a kind of different business assets, but the improvement is of course will be there in due course of time.
Okay. And the last question that as Mukund sir has also said, he is not giving any particular guidance for next year in terms of growth. But overall, which segment we are seeing better kind of traction, or where we are seeing some kind of still some issues are there which might not turn up into strong revenue?
So Rohit, we continue to see that biocatalyst is going to grow as we move on. This year it should be a good growth in the biocatalyst areas as we move on. We continue to see that probiotics will grow. We continue to see that animal nutrition will be under pressure. And since, like, again, the COVID situation is there, so we still feel that the food process business will be also, like, under pressure.
Okay. That is from my side. I will come back into it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Alisha Mahawla from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir, and thank you for taking my question. My first question, I'd like to understand, what is your current capacity utilization level?
So, Anisha, in our business, it is very difficult to measure the capacity, but roughly it's still like somewhere around 55 to 60% is the capacity utilization right now.
Okay. So it has been at this level since the last few years. So is this the peak capacity, or can it go up to, say, 80, 85% also? Because we've been at this sub 60% for the last 3 to 4 years.
It can grow. It can go. It's not like a peak level. But what happens is, like, you also, like, work on the improvements. So we are in a very good industry where 2 plus 2 is not 4, or 1 plus 1 is not 2 but 11. So you continue to increase your productivity, and that is how, like, some of the capacity is always free. This quarter also we work on the few products and we could get free some of the capacity. So we continue to be on the same level at this point of time, and we hope to be continuing.
Okay, sure. And so, like you said, that this quarter margins were impacted because of increase in raw material prices. So maybe if you can just comment on, you know, where do you source it from, and going forward for FY22, where do you see the margins, especially because contribution from SSPL will also increase. So do you think you can maintain it at FY21 levels, or with better utilization, can it improve? Just some color on that would be helpful.
We always feel that our margin should be between 40 to 48%. We still continue with that guidance. Yes, there are certain pressure on the raw materials. For example, if you really go with the soya flour or the soya oil, the prices are more than doubled. Some of the raw materials are doubled. But we expect 1 to 2% impact on the margin. But that may be improved with the, that can be improved with the capacity utilization. So net we feel very very small portion that should really impact us on the bigger picture. We don't know how long the prices will be up. It's a seasonal as well, but currently we are facing the same situation, and then if you really look at it, logistic cost is also gone up. So we need to see, wait and watch.
Okay. So just some time, where do you source your raw material from?
Sorry?
Where do you source your raw material from?
So 99% of the raw materials are sourced from India. most of them are like the agriculture origin, and some of them are the salts. But the salts in terms are being like sourced, their basic materials are being sourced from the China. So you are dependent indirectly on the China, but not directly, because most of the like chemical industry is dependent on China. So if the prices of logistic and other thing goes up, all the costs go up.
Got it. And just one clarification, you said that the prices have almost doubled. So there is there any scope to pass on these prices, or normally it is absorbed by the company only?
We don't like pass it on unless until it becomes a permanent feature. So we wait and watch, because it's very competitive industry. You generally don't go and just pass it on because 1% is cost is gone up or 2% the cost is gone. So you wait and watch. If it is a continuous, then you go and pass it on.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We would request the participants to please press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Aditya Khemka from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mukund sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Mukund sir, you said animal nutrition business, there was some impact. Could you elaborate a bit more what impacted the animal nutrition business, and how, why do you feel that it can continue to be under pressure?
Good afternoon, Aditya ji. Aditya ji, if you really look at it, because of the COVID situation, we expect like lot of animal feed business to come from the export market. Right now you cannot travel. This was like under the development stages. Lot of like things were like the distributors and all of those things were under the process. But because of the COVID situation, you cannot travel. Secondly, if you really look at it, the logistic cost has gone up dramatically. This is a business where you sell the product at $1 or $2 a kg. And when the logistic cost goes up, it really impacts you. The third thing, what has happened is with the logistic, it's not only the cost, but the timely deliveries are also affected. And because of that, like you lose some of the customers, and some of the customers don't want to trust you. Also, like you cannot travel. So these are the real challenges which we are facing at this point of time. Last year, this was a bigger challenge. Even like when you look into the first quarter or the second quarter, all the hotel industry was closed, and you know, the animal feed industry or the livestock are like dependent on the hotel industry as well, and their consumption was lower. If you again look at it, like the soya flour or the corn prices has gone up dramatically, and these people are more under the stress to produce than to sell. So overall, if you really look at the situations, animal feed industry is going to be under pressure.
Understood. And that is predicated upon this COVID situation continuing, right? I mean, your pressure is basically related to COVID, not really demand, because you are saying two different things. One is obviously COVID is not allowing you to travel. COVID has the hospitality industry under pressure. So that is one part of the pressure you're talking about. And the other part of the pressure you said was that your consumers don't want to order again because they don't trust you, or you have not been able to supply. So while COVID impact may be more transitionary in nature, obviously nobody knows how long COVID will last, but it is transitionary for sure. The other impact, which is your customer trust getting lost on you, or customer not wanting to source more locally from somebody like Novozymes rather than sourcing from you, that could be a more structural impact. So the sense I'm trying to get is, which is more, which is the one factor out of these two which impacted more? Is it the loss of contact from the consumer, or is it the COVID situation?
So if you really look at it, because of the situation, both the situation played. Just to give you the example, last year we lost a very big customer on the Russian side because of the logistic delays. And then we stopped like really promoting very aggressively, because we are not sure what will happen on the deliveries and other side, right? So we stopped a little bit. We paused because it's more important for us to not to lose the name rather than taking the business, right? So
correct.
Yes, some of the structural damage is already being there, but right now, like we are playing more waiting game rather than the aggressively moving forward.
Understood. Understood. And in terms of, you know, the enzymes business overall, right, the biological catalyst business overall, how do you think the market is moving forward? So again, COVID impact aside, I'm talking more on a broader market growth basis. So, you know, we noticed Novozyme, you know, delivering single-digit growth. So what is the broader overall growth of the enzyme market? Can you throw a bit of light on that?
So, I don't know, like, the overall market growth. Yes, like, I can talk about our segments, particularly. If you really look at it, like, the biocatalyst area where we are really focusing on the enzyme side, we grew last year somewhere around 28%. Of course, it was on a smaller base, but that is, like, real our growth area. Again, this year, we continue to work on the COVID drugs, which uses the enzymes. We are continuing to work on the different APIs. So this year, again, we feel that we should have a decent growth into that area, particularly. If we talk about human nutraceutical, yes, there is a lot of awareness which is being there right now because of the COVID. That's a positive impact. We can see that the nutraceutical industry is growing somewhere around 8%, 8.5% right now, and maybe it will be more. Because of the COVID, everybody wants to have a better immunity. Everybody wants to be fit. So that is a positive impact. When we go to the food industry, yes, there is a lot of cautious, but there is a mixed response. The same thing is happening. Like, a lot of hotel industry is closed or hospitality industry is closed. And again, if you really look into the baking areas, those are like Europe areas. And again, there, if you really look at it, there is no travel and people don't want to change at this point of time because it's all the delivery and other thing and logistic comes into the picture. And again, if you can't travel, you can't like meet the customers, you cannot like create the new customers, right? So this is where it is happening right now. But yes, moving forward, we still see that the nutraceutical probiotic is also playing a very good role right now because it is also the immunity play. We have done certain clinical trials and we figured it out that our probiotics as well as our enzymes capsules are really working well against the COVID. The trial was done on the fatigueness and within 3 to 4 days, all the fatigueness after COVID is gone. Even if you are COVID impacted with your regular medicines, like your recovery time can be reduced by one day. So, yeah, the nutraceutical industry is shaping very well right now. Biocatalyst industry is shaping very well. Probiotic is shaping very well. But yes, there is a pressure on the animal feed industry as well as on the food industry. Food industry.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, Aditi.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayanan from ICICI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. My questions are related to kind of recruitments you have done on the sales front and on the R&D side. In the last 1 year, what has been the addition of salespeople in India as well as in Europe and US? Any major changes? And and also in terms of R&D, how many people we have now and did we add any this year?
So, Lakshmi Narayanji, last year it was more like a status quo situation, but we started adding the people this year. We are seriously looking to expand our marketing team, particularly into the animal feed areas and the food areas. But last year, because of COVID, we were like more or less stagnant. On the R&D front as well, like we are on and off. We are operating few of the months, and few of the months we had to close down. Currently also, like, we are operating somewhere around 1 or 2 days in a week just to take care of whatever is urgent, rather than really focusing on a bigger way. But yes, we are adding the team. I think Raukaji, can you give the R&D number? How many people are there?
R&D, we have total strength of 105, Mukul, and in AEP standalone, but overall we have about 148 people. So I mean, you know, addition as such, you already explained about it. The total, you know, working is about 105 people are working over there.
Okay, and you know, is it 148 or 105?
Total 148 is like, you know, we have some in our subsidiary at, you know, Hyderabad, then US company, Evox has some 20 people working. Then recently we have added Titech, so there are, you know, about 11 you know, employees in R&D in Titech. So all put together is about 148.
Got it. And in terms of the animal health, right, what is the sales split across India and outside India for the animal health?
Yes, animal health overall number is 470 million during FY21 as compared to 548 million last year in FY20. Now, in terms of like sales in India, you want the geography-wise distribution of this number?
Yeah, broadly, because you touched upon the fact that there has been a decline. So, just want to understand which geography this decline and what is the sales split broadly between geographies?
Yeah. Give me a minute, please. Meanwhile, if you have any other question, please go ahead and give you the number.
On the JC Biotech, right, I think we have an option to acquire up to 100% or we can actually acquire only up to 85%. And when compared to our earlier acquisition price, what has been the, you know, increased in, was there any increase in valuation of JC Biotech ever since we first acquired it?
Yes, of course, it's increased. Yeah, Mukund, go ahead.
Yeah, so the initially, like when we acquired JC Biotech, we acquired it at rupees 35 per share. The current acquisition cost is rupees 68 per share. We do have an option to buy 100%, but we still believe that there should be some part of the promoter. So the operation becomes more smoother. At the same time, it gives you more leverages to come up with a new product, and you can still move ahead. You can use your capital much better instead of like just keeping in the mutual fund or in the bank. So that was the objective, to go ahead and acquire like 15% of stake, but we do have an option to buy all the 100%.
Okay. And there has been an increase in JC Biotech sales, you know, especially last year. There's a big significant jump from 42 crores to almost 51 crores, right? So what drove that change? Because from FY16, it was fairly around 40 crore-ish, right? There has been a jump in JC Bio. So can you just elaborate as to what drove that increase rates?
So currently, like JC Biotech is whatever they are producing, more or less they are supplying to Advanced Enzymes. And it's mainly into the inflation product. Right now, like whatever the, Raukaji has already explained that there is a growth of 7-8%. So there is a jump. Some of the time, like it's like a inventory buildup situations or. You know, like maybe like, I don't know exactly, but in the initial stage of the year, there might be some more inventory last year than this year. So there is somewhat plus minus. But moving forward, we are trying to trying to make JC Biotech multi-product rather than just one product? At this point of time, it is more concentrated to just one product. But moving forward, maybe after 2 quarters, we'll see that JC Biotech produce more more products, and that we can utilize much better way. Because there we do have a capacity, and we feel that we can utilize that capacity much better way moving forward.
Right. So in the initial remarks, you mentioned the sale of your top product as 110 crores. Did I hear it right?
It was something 113.4 crores.
Yeah, 113.4 crores. Okay. And also in the initial part of the conversation, you mentioned that the U.S. Top client, which was around 9% in FY20, had actually withdrawn, or that account is not active now.
Yeah.
So what percentage of revenues of 21 came from that client, which was 9%
nothing. No sales in that customer.
No sales, zero sales in FY21.
Yeah. Yet US business grew by about 12%.
Despite this client was not. Okay.
Correct.
Fair enough.
And as far as the numbers you were asking about, ASN, right? Animal Health Nutrition.
Yeah.
So it is, the degrowth is in mainly in India. And okay. International market is about, I think, 170 million last year, 170 million this year, and the remaining is in India market. So we have seen that, there is a dip in the sales in ASN in India from 370 to 300 million. So 70 million means 5 crore is, 7 crore is lower numbers.
Sorry, sir, I didn't catch it. So you said international is around 170 million for animal health this year.
Yes. And domestic is 300 million.
Okay. And what was the number in FY20 for this, these two?
Yeah. So it is 170 in FY20 international, and domestic 370.
Okay, so the entire decline has come from India.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Fair enough. And this, when you supply this to India, right, so is it consumed in India or is it again exported in some form outside?
I'm talking about India only. Can be India.
95% or 98% is like...
Yes, these are all Indian customers. And they are ultimate
Indian customer.
Consumer in that sense. All the poultry companies who are integrated players, farmers.
Got it. 2-3% is like exported to the Bangladesh or...
Fair enough. So one last question from my side. In terms of the B2C nutraceutical business, which you were selling through either Amazon or... also through your direct-to-consumer channel, right? What is the sales of that for this year and how much?
We touched 5 million, like as whatever our target was. It grew from 3 to 5 million this year, gone by a year.
Yeah, so it is up to 3.85 to 5.27 million.
Got it. Thank you, sir. I'll come back in queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shantanu Chatterjee from Mount Entrepreneur. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir, for taking my question. My only question is, sir, you have got number of products for registration under EFSA, that is European Food Security Authority. You have already got registration for 3 products. Now want to know about the status of the rest of the 9 products. When we can expect that those products will get registered?
It's difficult to say. Currently there are like 4 products which they are sent for some questionnaires. We are already replied to them, but when they will go through all the other products is very difficult. but once like we have submitted all of those products, we are open to sell.
Is there any tentative timeline, sir, within which you can expect that those things will actually turn up?
So if you really look at it, it's very difficult. We have submitted the first dossier in 2014, and right now still they are evaluating. So it's very difficult for me just to tell and give you the timeline, how long they will take.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Rajiv N, from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the guidance, sir. Just can you tell me about the positives of the company this year, sir? And what will be the negatives for the company this year, sir?
So I already explained, Rajiji. The positive is like our provided sale is in India is more than double. I think like 128% or something. Our biocatalyst business has grown up by more than 78%. Our US business, nutraceutical business, has grown up by 11% despite losing the largest client. Our B2C segment is growing. These are all the positive sides of it. The negative side is we still like going through the COVID impacts. Our business, since we are present into the so many different areas, we cannot like go and really talk about quarter and quarter. But yes, some of the quarters you get some business and some of the quarters you don't get the business, right? And if you really look at it, we are still going to be under pressure on the animal nutraceutical business at the same time on the food business. So these are the negatives at this point of time.
Thank you very much, sir. Yeah.
Thank you, Rajesh.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayanan from ICICI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead. Mr. Lakshmi Narayanan, your line is in talk mode. You can go ahead, please.
Yeah, so I see that the bioprocess business, which has been fairly flat for the last 1 year, can you just elaborate a bit on how do you look at that business and what have been the changes in the last 1 year, either from the customer side or from your own product side on the bioprocess business?
So bioprocess business, we divide into the two categories, food business and the non-food business. If you really look into the non-food business, it mainly comprises of like textile business and your like detergent business. Our revenues were more or less flat last year. If you really look into the first quarter, our revenue was almost zero. It was just like hardly 5-6 lakh. Similar situation is happening this quarter as well as we move on because of the COVID situations. So it does have a lot of impact on the COVID. Despite that, like we could like cover up the first quarter in last three quarters, I would say. Moving forward also, we don't know how long the COVID will last and how that business will grow this year, whether we will be able to take some growth or no. But we expanded a little bit into some of the export market and some of the orders are coming into that segment. Moving into the food business, we are really focusing on the Europe side. We had a good impact on the food business in Europe because like you couldn't like make more conversion to the clients. At the same time, the consumption was on a lower side in the initial phases of the COVID. So first 2-3 quarters were really slow than what we anticipated. Last quarter and this quarter is moving ahead again, but we don't know how it will pan out as the COVID situation will pan out. So difficult to say. So we feel that this year also probably will be revenue neutral, but we can't predict too much at this point of time till the COVID situation is more.
And how the business fits between food and non-food broadly, bioprocess?
Okay, I'll give you that number. Yeah. So roughly, you know, FY20, the bioprocess segment is about 15%, and 12% is food and 3% is non-food. And the same is the situation in FY21. It's roughly about 14%. 9% is food and 5% is non-food. So here, this non-food, this you know, comprises of domestic as well as international market. So domestic, we have seen no growth. As Mukund has already mentioned, in first couple of quarters, there was no sale. Subsequently, you know, COVID situation was like, you know, as such, there was no, I mean, lot of improvements and normalcy. So it picked up. And our sale during FY20 is about 90 million in India. And that was only, you know, the same number was about, you know, in FY20. So from 90 to 92 million in FY21. But the good part is this year we could sell, you know, a higher, I mean, you know, the revenue from this particular segment in USA is improved, and we could see that it has witnessed a very good growth. I mean, in terms of absolute number, last year we had about 55 million, but this year it has gone up to 140 million. So as such, you know, the impact in India...
I didn't capture, you said 55 million.
55 was last year, and this year it is about 140 million.
This is which part of the business? This is the bioprocess food in the US.
Non-food, bioprocess non-food.
Okay, okay. Got it, got it. And what is driving this? Is it, you know, when you look at the bioprocess non-food in the US, what is driving this?
They have been working on, you know, since last 3-4 years, and probably, you know, we could get a couple of customers over there. So that has resulted in higher sales during this year.
Good. Sir, and in terms of your R&D expenses, what is the CapEx and what's the total outlay for FY21? And how much is capitalized and how much is taken through the P&L?
Okay. So FY21, our revenue expenses is about 125 million. As compared to 115 in FY20, and CapEx is about 54 million as compared to 29 million last year. So it's about 179 million in FY21 and 144 million in FY20.
Got it. And what's the plan for the next 1 or 2 years in terms of R&D expenses?
Yeah, I think, you know, as far as the revenue expenses are concerned, you know, FY21, as Mukund has mentioned several times during this phone call, because of COVID, you know, the hiring was really very, very tough and very challenging. And we also feel that, you know, there's no point in hiring unless until, you know, the person can really work on floor. Because, you know, R&D is like, you know, one has to go and work. And the physical presence is very, very important in that sense. But yes, another thing, I think a couple of times we have mentioned about it, we have a plan to expand our R&D at Nasik, which was also kind of, you know, standstill during FY21. Now FY22, I mean, you know, at least 2 months are gone like that. So, I mean, you know, we have plans to spend some amount on a CapEx side of it. Including the hiring is already started. But yes, I mean, overall basis, this year probably there could be an outlay of maybe about, you know, 100 million to 150 million on CapEx side. And revenue expenditure is likely to go up, you know, generally, you know, we spend about 3.5 to 4%. So it will be in that range only.
Well, thank you so much, sir. I'm done.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Alisha Mahawla from Envision Capital.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity again. I just wanted to understand, you were mentioning to the earlier participant that the bioprocessing segment, you're expecting it to be sort of flat for FY22. And we've also seen some headwinds in the animal healthcare segment. So where are we seeing the growth coming from? I know you mentioned the nutraceuticals and the probiotics, but will it be enough for us to maintain the kind of growth rate that we have over the last 2 years? Or are we expecting it to be a slightly softer year?
Vanisha, we can't comment at this point of time how much will be the growth and what it will be. But we can see that there should be a decent growth into the biocatalyst area. We feel that there should be a decent growth into the nutraceutical area. But numbers, I cannot speak at this point of time because it's very difficult for me to really predict. What I can say is we will be positive no matter what, whatever happens. I mean, that is what I can say at this point of time.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We would request the participants to please press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Mukund Thapra for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for your questions. I hope everybody for a better health, and I pray for everyone. We feel that this COVID time should be over and everyone will be healthy. Thank you, everyone, for your participation. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.